So we've talked about the age gap at times on this show, too. I am not youthful, but maybe the more youthful member of this trifecta. And
I don't know. I'm pretty young at heart. Counts.
He's 32. He's the youngest. Go ahead.
Evidently, I don't know how to do normal adult things, like using a post office.
Post offices can be very confusing. I'm going to give you that.
I went to the post office in my new hometown of Chippewa Falls yesterday because I was trying to send a package, trying to send a gift.
Yes.
Full on millennial here. I don't remember the last time I sent anything by package because I just order it with 2-day shipping and have it sent directly there. And you can even put a little note on it too, which might be less personal, but is way more convenient. So I went to the post office yesterday with some packing materials. I was sending some delicious chocolates and I had a little ice pack and some bubble wrap and...
Sound ready.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought I was just bringing all this stuff, my arms full of things. And then, you know, I was like, I know they have these flat rate boxes. Well, being the cheap slash thrifty slash frugal person that I am, I look at the flat rate boxes and say, wow, that flat rate is fairly high.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw one for like $7.35 and thought, hey, that looks like right about the same size as my chocolates. Spatial awareness was never really my strong suit in school and math. And so I thought, hey, this box is the same size as my chocolate box. So I start putting it together. Struggled quite a bit to read the directions and realize what flaps get folded where. And so I put this box completely together and then realized, hey, the chocolates will fit inside, but none of the packing materials, the ice, all of the things that the creator of these chocolates, Becky at Sweet Driver, said, you need to have this stuff in there if you want them to arrive in one piece and arrive in pristine condition.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the box completely together after much struggling and flailing and realized that's not going to work. So then I thought, what can I do? I go back, start staring at the flat rate wall again. I see these envelopes and thought, hey, the envelope is the same price as the little box. Also $7.35. So I take the envelope, walk over back to this counter, start stuffing everything in the envelope. It all fits.
Right.
It all fits. I get it all packed in. Then I realize after fitting it all in that it actually doesn't fit because the envelope won't close.
Oh, no.
After that, I decided to bite the bullet and spend the $14+ to get the medium box, which I am now sure by this point will fit everything that I want to send.
Did it?
It did. But what I realized is, well, okay, so this other guy came over to the counter and he had some things to mail and he had his boxes and such. And I'm putting together this box and realize, hey, there's no sticky substance on this box. It needs to be taped. So I grab some tape from the counter where this guy was standing and start taping it up. The guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, why are you using my tape?
Oh,
wow. I thought the post office provided those things.
They provide nothing.
Yeah. They provide nothing.
No. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing.
Were you at
nothing.
Least like, I'm really sorry, dude. I didn't know.
Here's the thing. I knew him.
Oh!
Thank goodness. It was Jake who manages the Chippewa Steel hockey team.
Ah.
And he was so gracious and kind. I was mortified. I didn't realize. I stole another man's tape. I just thought it was provided for you on the counter. I just thought it was one of those handy things the USPS does.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's the tape and here's the boxes. And
they give you nothing.
And I thought maybe that was sort of like included with the cost of. So, yeah, so I stole another man's tape. I finally put it together and realized, hey, it needs to be taped on the bottom and on the top. And, like, he sees me, like, after I addressed it all. And it's like, you need my tape again? I was like,
yeah,
thanks, Jake. So I bring it all up. Well, then I go up to the counter and realize this costs $14+. I only had $10 in my pocket.
Wow.
And of course, there's a line.
So
I had to dutifully stand in line, wait in line, and get up to the counter and say, hey, could I leave this here while I go get my wallet?
Nice.
Because I didn't want to just leave it anywhere and have someone abscond with it. So, and then finally, I did get up to the counter, and the saga continues when I got up to the counter and realized that the address that I was sending it to, the kind lady at the post office kind of looked at me askance and said, this post office box doesn't exist, sir.
The one you were sending it to?
The one I was sending it to. So apparently I was sending it to the Ethos somewhere in Minnesota.
Wow.
So I had to look up on my phone the correct address, which wasn't listed on their website. Yeah.
The trials and tribulations.
I'm not good at doing adult stuff.
And that's okay.
Did not see that coming.
All right, here we go.
There's a query that we have this morning. Found this on Twitter from a gal named Whitney, and I suddenly am very much in agreement with her sentiment. She says, my 8-year-old just asked me, is Bingo the name of the farmer or the dog? And she says, now I'm questioning everything I thought I knew about life.
Remind us how it goes. Do you have it in front of you?
There was a farmer, had a dog, and Bingo was his name-o.
Okay.
So is Bingo the farmer or is Bingo the dog? Now, Caleb and I started talking about this off the air. I don't know.
It sure seems to me like I've always thought
yes,
that Bingo's the name of the dog.
I mean, subject and predicate and stuff. Like,
but there was a farmer
who had a dog and Bingo was his name. Oh, to me, that's how I've understood it, but I could be wrong.
That's a very straightforward.
I thought we could ask an expert.
Okay.
So.
Also weigh in at 715-396-1670.
Give us
is Bingo the name of the farmer or the dog? I believe it's the dog.
I'm going to ask an expert, though. My dad is a trivial guy in that he likes all kinds of trivia, but he's also highly educated, has a master's
degree.
Did you
say your dad's trivial?
That's
Grandpa Wayne.
Come on.
So Grandpa Wayne is joining us because he actually is an English teacher by education, and I thought, who would know about the semantics and details of this more than my dad, Grandpa Wayne?
And here's the thing, we
care
so much about.
Well, there are probably a lot of people, but thanks for thinking of me.
We care so much about education that many of you are on your way to school right now. We are just getting you a jump start on the day. Grandpa Wayne, take it away, sir.
Also, I have to just preface this by saying my father had no idea what he was going to be talking to us about before we actually put him on the air. So there you go, Grandpa Wayne. What are your thoughts?
What are my thoughts? Well, there's one that I tell my students, you got to be careful how you word things, because you could say, I once met a man with a wooden leg named Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to that, the wooden leg's name is Fred.
Fred. Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Well, obviously, you know, the man's name is Fred.
Okay, so.
There was a farmer, had a dog, and Dingo was a Dingo would be the dog.
Yeah, there we go.
So it's there was a farmer, had a dog, comma. And Bingo was his name-o.
Correct.
So that means
the dog
is Bingo.
The dog's
name is Dingo. Yeah.
I really wanted the farmer to be named Bingo.
She wanted us
well,
to be wrong.
You can name the farmer anything you want. Maybe the farmer named the dog after himself. You know, there's a possibility.
That is true. Maybe the farmer was childless and thought, hey, Bingo is
I
my
need
heir
something.
Appearance.
Yeah, you know, I've got to have some kind of a legacy. Yeah,
right. Okay, so official word from the English teacher is that the dog's name is Bingo.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, maybe that's what many of us thought.
Yeah.
But just to clear that up.
I don't know. It was circling in my mind.
In case there was a quandary.
A quandary. A query.
A query.
A question.
All right. So the dog's name is Bingo.
All right.
The dog's name is Dingo.
Hey, go enlighten minds and teach people and spread the knowledge.
Well, I always say that it's my mission in life to give the gift of enlightenment. So to that end, that's what I do, I guess.
There
One final thought, Grandpa Wayne, Packers or Bears tonight?
Well, you know, this whole Packer Bear thing taught me that I'm an optimist and not a pessimist. You see, I grew up in Chicago. Now, if I were a pessimist, I would say, when the Packers and the Bears play, I can't win. But I'm an optimist, so I say when the Packers and the Bears play, I can't lose.
So there you go.
There you have it.
It's a good day either way, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's, you know, you always got to look on the bright side.
Absolutely. Hey, have a great day, Dad. I love you, and we'll chat soon.
Okay, thanks for calling, guys. Yeah. Love you too, Hillary. And I just want you guys to know I'm drinking coffee out of my official WWIB coffee cup that
Terrific.
My daughter was kind
Solid.
Enough to give me. So
that's
Solid.
Why Grandpa Wayne is a great friend of the show and a frequent guest.
Absolutely.
Not just for his English abilities.
But for his coffee drinking prowess. All right.
Whatever.
Have a great day, Dad. I love family game nights. I think that they're just a lot of fun. But sometimes the games, now that I'm not as youthful as I once was, are a bit more challenging.
That's the thing, because I enjoy some good board games,
mm-hmm.
enjoy Settlers of Catan. We played
yes.
Farkle the other day with my sister. A lot of fun things
yeah.
like that. But the kids would rather play more active
yeah.
games.
Yeah. So my kids love Twister.
Yeah.
It's a family classic. family classic. Love Twister. Lots of fun. But I fall over a lot in that game.
You learn about, like, muscles and tendons and joints that you didn't know you had, especially the next day when it's like, wow, Twister injury.
So I don't know if this would be better or not, because they've kind of got a new twist on Twister, if you will. It is a 15 by 15 foot inflatable Twister.
Oh.
So it's larger. 15 by 15. It's an outdoor game. So, okay. Like, stakes to the ground. It's inflatable.
Sure.
It's 3 feet high. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So it, not 3 feet high. I'm sorry. The big spinning wheel is 3 feet
oh,
high.
Oh, nice.
So it's cool. The spinning wheel is 3 feet high. 64 color dots in 8 rows.
How many people can play on this?
Well, I think quite a few.
You can get the entire neighborhood.
To me, I'm like, this is genius because when I fall down, it's cushioned.
Yes.
Hooray!
Again, inflatable.
Cushioned.
Nice.
Inflatable. I like it. But then as I started thinking about it, I'm like, have you ever stood on like a balance ball thing? You know, like those half circles
tried.
With the platform?
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually had to do that last night or yesterday afternoon in my voice lesson. It was super challenging.
Really?
It's a breathing exercise. Huh. As I was singing. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm still walking today. Thanks, Luke, because, yeah, it was all good. So I'm thinking, though, standing on an inflated surface is wobbly.
Yeah.
I think it would be harder.
I think maybe it's designed, because I think the people of Twister were actually thinking the most fun is when folks get tangled up and then fall
yes.
over.
Yeah.
Again, kids, sometimes I think kids, like, especially when they're like 3, 4, 5, they're basically indestructible because
right.
they're like made of rubber.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so the number of things that my 4-year-old can run into and it's like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, I would not be okay if I'd fallen from
okay.
that height relative to my height.
Well, this remake is from a company called Hamaker Schlemmer. That comes with
That's
a lifetime guarantee.
Right,
so you'll be set for life with this game because it's a lifetime guarantee, which is awesome. Takes 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. Here's the problem for me. Retails for $2,000. $2,000. You know what?
How much do you want to be the most popular house in the neighborhood?
I'm going to buy a cheap air mattress and
just
spray paint circles on it. It'll be fine, I'm sure. So, but
Hamaker Schlemmer, makers of a huge inflatable Twister game, find chocolates and watches. Hurricane Dorian has been in the news near constantly, as it should be, with it again bearing down and looking like it avoided some parts of Florida that perhaps it was going to hit. But I believe there's still some danger in the Carolinas. So, again, keeping them in our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
A woman in Jacksonville, Florida, was preparing for the possible advent of Hurricane Dorian. Her name was Brittany, and she decided, hey, here's how I'm going to protect my home, my possessions. She wrapped her entire house in plastic wrap.
Plastic wrap.
Heavy-duty plastic and 300 sandbags plus a whole lot of duct tape to reinforce the thing.
I'm intrigued.
I'm just thinking of what I did, again, for those listening earlier or catch it on the podcast, when I was trying to mail some things via
yes.
USPS and figuring out, okay, bubble wrap and ice and, you know, trying to get these chocolates to Minnesota safely. She did it on a whole bigger level with an entire house.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, so I'm thinking this is like a, what do they call that stuff? Like a Tyvek wrap or something like that? I don't
know. That's a house wrap. And so
yeah.
I would assume it's a big 6-foot roll.
Interesting.
Like that. It does go up the
sandbag
side of her house
down.
Multiple feet. It's held at the base by the sandbags and at the top by the duct tape. And so her goal isn't necessarily,
hey, to
keep things from hitting the house. It's to keep water from getting in.
I'm so interested to see if this works. I think there could be a whole industry here. And maybe we need
It'll
to start
It'll be a boon for
the
heavy-duty plastic industry if this actually works.
Right.
I hope it did. I mean, more than that, I hope that Dorian doesn't actually hit in the area near her home, so she doesn't have to worry about it at all.
But
and honestly, she could just leave the plastic up because then maybe ants and other creepy crawlies wouldn't get in if she did a good enough job. So,
yeah, I completely agree. Snakes, icky crawlies, things
one of the
that
reasons
violate
we live here and not in Florida.
Things that violate the leg rule, keep them out. It's all good. You know what the leg rule is, right? If it has less than 2 or more than 4 legs, icky.
Indeed,
that's all there is to it. Icky.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.